Talk Radio Network, the number one independent black digital and podcasting platform. You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Come to feel what you need when what you really want. You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network. Excuse me. On timeforanawakening.com and Black Talk Radio Network. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you had a good weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And hope the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it was not, and you know it needed to be done, you got it done anyway. You always persevere. You don't procrastinate. You always get the job done. And that's why we appreciate you and admire you, respect you. That's right. And of course, we know you did it safely. You distanced, you wore your mask, you kept your hands clean. You just did everything that was right to protect yourself. Because that's what time it is. Sorry about Friday. The server was down. I thought it was a few other things. A lot of times when things don't happen right, I kind of like look at myself and it was nothing about what I did or did not do. And it's out of my control. And so, unfortunately, the server was down, and so we couldn't broadcast. But here we are today, and hope we'll be able to do this every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. That's right. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 to, or 8 to 10 Pacific time, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can go to the archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcast. Click on that. In the drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. And it's pretty much up to date. So any program that you remember or any program you'd like to hear, just scroll through there, browse through there, and, you know, pick one out or two or whatever. Give a listen. African Perspectives. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. This program, once again, is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. On Monday evenings, Acres of Diamonds public affairs programming with Brother Jihad Ahmed at from 6 to 8, followed by from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Moel Cambon and her daughter, Nataki Cambon. That is followed by from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank. On Thursdays, Melanin Live with host Chief Lance Jones and Sister Bonisiwa Ayan from 7 to 9. On Thursdays. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Time for an Awakening. And Saturdays from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., Black Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. Sister Talk with LaWanda Chambers from 4 to 6. And then from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council from 7 to 9. And then on Sundays at 7 p.m., once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call, is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We buy black.
We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses on WeBuyBlack.com. Also, too, once again, as I've been continuing to reiterate, they are in the movement to get a American African supermarket here in the Atlanta area. So they're looking for people to help support this cause. You can go to WeBuyBlack.com and make your donations, okay? And when you go online to look at the products that they have that are produced by us, WeBuyBlack.com, brothers and sisters, that's what we should do. Africa for the Africans, Brother Bomani Tahemba, he got back last week Tuesday. Already up are the videos from the Ghanaian tour that he got back from on January 5th. He has other tours that are planned. Brothers and sisters, go to AfricaForTheAfricans.org. If you want to see videos, go to youtube.org/Bomani2007. If you want to see photos, go to facebook.com/Bomani. Okay, and you can also give him a call at 404-931-9429. That's 404-931-9429. Africa for the Africans. Brother Renoko, I talked to Brother Renoko. The trip that he had to Senegal, to Uganda and Rwanda is canceled for right now. And so that's why this website is different. And, but he still, you know, has a trip possibly. He hasn't decided yet for going to Kemet, and that is going to be August 1st through the 14th. So, but Renoko will be here on the 22nd, that Friday, the 22nd of this month. Me and my brother, Baba Renoko Rashidi, will be chopping it up. And he has a big webinar coming up, so, and I look forward to that with Brother Renoko. Oh. And, but, okay, what we got next? Oh, we got Habesha. Habesha Incorporated. That's right, Habesha stands for Helping Africans Establish Schools at Home and Abroad. Education is so vitally important for African people. They are doing the work here in the Atlanta area as well as on the continent. HabeshaIncorporated.org. Give these brothers the support that they need. And, of course, the LEDGE Group. LEDGE stands for Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. And they deal with the four areas that are vital to human existence: food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have over 12 projects in 6 different countries, and they employ over 170 people with over 260 members. That's the LEDGE Group. Go online to ledgegroup.com and check it out for yourself. Become a member. Get involved. The LEDGE Group. Stop by Mama Nia Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. She moved out of her previous location. Now she's in the new location, right there in the main corridor of the Greenbrier Mall, bigger store, which is cool, because she, you know, she has functions at the bookstore, and it's just beautiful. Mama Nia's beautiful sister. Give her a call at 404-346-3263, 404-346-3263. The bookstore should be up and running by the end of the month, and I'm quite sure she'll have a grand opening or something that'll be happening there. But I definitely plan to go there and support her because she deserves to be supported. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, my good friend, my good brother, Kazimde Ajamu, and located in Lithonia. And the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore, but they got a coffee bar. It's really nice. It's a beautiful space. It's a sacred space. It's a good space for us. And give Brother Kazimde Ajamu a call at 404-519-8107. That's 404-519-8107. Brother Kazimde Ajamu at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. Brothers and sisters, there is light in the black dot. That's right. Us lifting us to economic development cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Cooperative economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. Their Thursday night broadcast on Blog Talk every Thursday night at 9 p.m. from 9 to 10. That's blogtalkradio.com/ULU. The name of the program is Dare to Win. That's Blog Talk Radio every Thursday night. The Us Lifting Us Thursday night broadcast. If you want to call to listen, or if you want to call to give your question, comment, or concerns, dial 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us. Sanjay Dash Haiti is my good sister, Gabriela Aurelia, who's doing outstanding work in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. And as you know, it's always the toughest out in the rural areas, particularly for countries like Haiti. And so they need support because they can't get any government support. There is no safety nets. They have to do what they have to do. But when you go online to see what they have done, you will support them because it's really beautiful. The work that they're doing with the children in terms of education, the work they're doing with the children as far as health care and sustainable agriculture and entrepreneurship. Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E dash Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I.org. Sanjay dash Haiti.org. Akabin Institute. That's right, Akabin Institute. Baba Baruti and Mama Yah are doing an outstanding job of educating our young warriors. Deserve to be supported. Make your check or money order out to Akabin Institute. Send it to P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. That's Akabin Institute. P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. If you want to use Cash App or PayPal, the Cash App, $YAA, the letter M, and then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, and making ongoing. You want Baba Baruti's books? Go to AkabinHouse.com. Go to AkabinHouse.com. The books will be, and you can order books off the off the website at AkabinHouse.com. Also, too, they have two Zooms coming up. Mama Yah's. They're both on the 6th, as you know. They do one for the brothers and then the other one for the sisters. And the sisters are Saturday, February 6th, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., $10 donation. Make your donation, $10 for adults and $5 for young people. Included in the information is the pertinent information, and that being quarterly sister circle. Quarterly sister circle, your name, your email address, so they can send you the streaming information. And this is the topic is when a woman heals, when a woman heals. And then for the brothers, the rights fundamentals, developing an effective rites of passage program with Baba Baruti. And their program is, once again, Saturday, February 6th, 12 noon to 3 p.m. Hers is 4 to 6. His is 12 to 3 p.m. And his registration fee is $20 for warriors in training, $10 via PayPal and Cash App. Same thing applies. Put 5th quarterly men's gathering, your name and your email address so they can send you the link. That's Saturday, February 6th. 12 noon to 3 p.m. Also available, the Inye Sesim Volume 2. Believe me, I'll be reading from it in a second here. Inye Sesim Volume 2. Also, the 13th Annual Youth Health Science Fair Exchange will be February 5th, the day before Baba Rudy's. You know, February 5th, it'll be on Zoom. And I'll give you that information. And the age of surveillance, the cameras are always on. You know, they'll talk about 5G, artificial intelligence, the RFID chips, the COVID-19, the mini ground cell towers, microwave radiation, smart devices, individualization, immunity, and so forth. It's always it's always great, and it's hosted by the Metro Atlanta American African Independent School System. You know, it's beautiful, the displays the young people have, their presentations. Man, it's impressive. So that's going to be Friday, February 10th, and it's on Zoom. And so if you got Zoom, you would put in the ID, which is 807-211-2759. That's 807-211-2759. And the passcode is Pearl, P-E-A-R-L, P-E-A-R-L. That's going to be on Friday, February. So, and excuse me. The Enye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Enye Sesim. I didn't get a chance, of course, to read the Enye Sesim Friday because we didn't broadcast. But I'm going to take the opportunity because, as I said, a lot of times, many of these are just gems. They really are. They really are. They're very thought-provoking, and Baba Baruti's narratives, and of course the proverb or the sayings themselves. So, we'll start on January 7th last week. January 7th. The men must be men, or the boys will continue to rule. National Shrine of Africans in America. If men decide and the intimate familiarity with destructive chaos that is naturally and necessarily brings has made us unable to see our children as their ancestors and the ancestors as us. If we cannot see ourselves as anything more than individually us, as appetite-bound beings limited to our senses and emotions in the here and the now. If we cannot imagine ourselves as spiritual forces moving in life-renewing circles which extend outward in all temporal and spiritual directions, if, because of an unwillingness to overcome ignorance and our fears of death and possibly painful consequences, we see no reason to save our children from Urugu's perversions and insanities, if our minds have become incapable of rising above this mindless reality to determine and implement a future for which we can proudly hold ourselves independently and collectively accountable, then it will be easy for us to rationalize remaining lost from our true self-consciousness, such as an oblivious, unconsciousness will leave us nowhere but ever seeking comfort in a dehumanized, despiritualized hell that will progressively continue to haunt us and all we birth, generation upon generation, through all time. Affirm. I rule so that children do not have to. Affirm, I rule so that children do not have to. January 8th. Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more backward thinking. It's time for thinking ahead. Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes. There is nothing complicated as to a warrior's reason for being. They are brought here to bring an end to the violation and the oppression of their people in and outside of our homes. They are not here to do this as saviors, but as workers with a mission that is centered in and guided by the vision of African sovereignty, a vision absolutely grounded in the reality that establishes, fortifies, and protects Ma'at against the controlled chaos of imbeciles in every form. Enemies do not frighten them because they were built to confront and bring to heal nations if need be. Even death or its threat cannot alter their mission. They are warriors of their people,
servants of righteousness, nothing more, nothing less. Ashe, and we thank them. Affirm, I know exactly why I'm here and act accordingly. Affirm, I know exactly why I'm here and I act accordingly. January 9th. It is expensive to be poor, but the cost is not always monetary. Daruba Kenyatta. Capitalism is more simply an economic order. As with every social institution, the mind of the people creating them determines the relation, the rationale from form they take. This form naturally comes into existence in their image. Their mind's interpretations of reality gives substance to this order. So, as a form of economic order, capitalism reflects the despiritualized, material-centered heartlessness and soullessness of Urugu better than any other. How they naturally treat each other and all others is fundamental to this order. Poverty is a critical, necessary aspect of it. I repeat, poverty in a capitalist system, poverty is a critical, necessary aspect of it. Bear in mind that it is the only economic order where acceptable levels of poverty are defined academically and politically. And this resource starvation of a significant segment of the population is critical to the sustenance and survival of the system and the ego of everyone involved who does not sustain at or below the poverty level. In fact, one of capitalism's primary duties is to create poverty and then to punish the impoverished, to make them deservingly feel poor. In Urugu's reality, it is not enough to simply be poor. Impoverished individuals must be made to justifiably feel impoverished and come to see themselves as less of a person, as inferior to those who secured in their material possessions. Material possessions must become their only earthly and afterlife aspiration. This perception held both above and below mass and validates the sheer ugliness of Urugu's Asili needed to sadistically dominate, oppress, exploit, control, and otherwise abuse others so that those who profit from this can be elevated and honored as deserving of their superiority. Affirm, I am aware of the selfish mind behind capitalism. Affirm, I am aware of the selfless mind behind capitalism. January 10th. The wicked flee when none pursue it. Proverbs 28:1. There has never been a statute of limitations on murder anywhere or at any time in the history of civilization. And that is as it should be. And because genocide is murder to the nth degree, it is only logical that there be no statute of limitations on the continuous, conscious, engineered, malevolent murder of this enormity. Therefore, the only resolution to Urugu's past and present murderous behavior is the enforcement of criminal justice by those against whom they have worked so diligently to commit genocide. Bearing this in mind and knowing the historical depths of Urugu's deceit by resolution, we cannot possibly mend any form of criminal justice that might be achieved in their courts or some exonerating spiritual otherworldly karmic reckoning, which pretends that these innocents who live are not their murderous ancestors, or especially that Urugu are not one. They are one. As with Azinya's truth, and of course, Azinya is South Africa, as with Azinya's truth and reconciliation farce, this would do no more than quiet the mental suicidal anxiety felt by the escapists among us. It would only serve to appease the fragmented egos of those who daily preach forgiveness and forgetfulness because their very validation and existence depends on it. Our words do not operate on the assumptions that our enemies have a conscience. They have no conscience. In order to fulfill the divine instructions of Ma'adi and balance and correctness, Retribution must come in the form of criminal justice exercised by those against whom the murderous acts were and continues to be committed. Affirm, I have no reason to flee because of wrongdoing. Affirm, I have no reason to flee because of wrongdoing. Today, January 11th, we can't control what pops up in our mind, but we can control how much we entertain and how much energy we feel through our thoughts. Isaiah Zulu Styles. Warriors need positive distractions. On a daily basis, they need to find things which can totally take them away from the front line. And they need to be able to do them without feeling guilty about not spending every single solitary second of their time engaged in an intense study or action which is singularly and wholly immersed in frontline interests. Given the depths of what they do for us and the sacrificial time and energy that it takes, that this work takes, it is unfair for us to begrudge warriors for taking on seemingly useless distractions like washing and detailing their cars, playing chess, taking naps, going shopping, riding bikes, walking through the park, watching a comedy show, going through the internet timeline, and other non-serious, otherwise seemingly divergent activities through which they momentarily find some aspects of inner peace and which allow them to momentarily get away from the obligations and duties they readily assume and fulfill because their spirit demands it. Whether they know it or not, like it or not, warriors need rest and play. They need relaxing, fulfilling, restoring rest and play. They need rest and play that assists in keeping them on the mental, physical, and emotional and spiritual cutting edge of our front line. Ashe. Affirm. I control what I do with my thoughts. Affirm, I control what I do with my thoughts. Brothers and sisters, the Inye Sesem of daily revolutionary thought. The struggle is constant. The struggle continues. The struggle is ever present. But yes, they need rest. The brothers and sisters who are on the front lines, who are doing the work, they need rest and play. Haven't done this in a while, but I think today is a good day to remind us that, you know, the lot of things that I do a lot of times is repetitious, you know, and a lot of it's repetitious and redundant and repetitive. I don't know if there's any other words I can say. Any other adjectives. But the bottom line is, it's positive reinforcement. Some of the things need to be, you need to hear again and again, letting you know. Because, I mean, I tell you all the time what this program is about. This program, African Perspective, hosted by me, Brother Oshi, is about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. And for as far as we're concerned, there is no other discussion. Everything else is moot. Our motto is Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die. And what we try to do is bring you the knowledge and information by our scholars, our historians, our ancestors, our elders that speaks to those things. You know, I haven't done this in quite a while, so this is from Kwame Nkrumah. And as you know, Kwame Nkrumah, I don't know, people can say they're the fathers of Pan-Africanism. Only Umar Johnson says he's the prince. My brother Umar, I hope he's doing well. I really do. You know, Martin R. Delaney, I think they label him as one of the fathers of Pan-Africanism, and rightfully so. Martin Delaney was outstanding, but so was Edward Wilmot. But there's so many brothers and sisters who believed in
African redemption, who believed in us as African people, reclaiming, recapturing, restoring the history of our people and our land and our resources. You know,
Kwame Nkrumah said, I believe strongly and sincerely that with the deep-rooted wisdom and dignity, the innate respect for human lives, the intense humanity that is our heritage, the African culture united under one federal government, the African culture united under one federal government continent-wide, will emerge not just as another world block to flaunt its wealth and strength, but as a great power whose greatness is indestructible because it is built not on fear and envy and suspicion, nor won at the expense of others, but founded on hope, trust, friendship, and directed to the good of all mankind. The Speech of Freedom in 1961. Sometimes later, Kwame Nkrumah said this. If we do not approach the problems in Africa with a common front and a common purpose, we shall be haggling and wrangling among ourselves until we are colonized again and become the trolls of a far greater colonialism than we had suffered heretofore. How prophetic. How prophetic. More deeply, how sad. To be truly liberated, African people must come to know the nature of the European thought and behavior in order to understand the effects that the Europeans have had on our ability to think victoriously. We must be able to separate our thoughts from Europeans' thoughts so to visualize a future that is not dominated by Europeans. This is demanded by an African-centered worldview. Because why? Because we are Africans. And because the future towards which Europeans leads us is genocide. Marimba Ani, my good friend, Dr. Marimba Ani Yorugu. That's right. Depends on it. I was going to talk about chickens coming home to roost this past Friday. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that. And also talk about... you know, Europeans, what I'm saying today is that the psyche of the European, the mentality of the European, and see, what messes us up as Africans, as the loving people that we are, you know, it's what Dr. Sheikh Anta Diop said about us. You know, we are very beautiful and loving people. You know, when people came into Africa, we welcomed them. You know, we didn't kill them. We welcomed them. We shared with them. That's the kind of people we are. Diop pointed out that it was a two cradle of human development, a northern cradle and a southern cradle. And in the southern cradle, where we are, we were welcoming of people, Xenophilia. We were embracing people. We shared with people. You know, when our civilization reached its height, its apex, its zenith, its pinnacle, we welcomed people. People sat at our feet to learn the basic disciplines of knowledge, of science and math and architecture and music and writing and law and religion. All those disciplines created by African people. And all the theologies, all the things that are on the planet, the root of it comes from us. People came. Some may not have come to sit at our feet, but they, through the process of migrations and so forth and people bringing, coming out, it was shared with them. Now, of course, they put their emphasis on it. They put their image on it. They put their modalities and so forth on it. But the root of it is us.
I hope I tried my best to bring that out this past holiday season. And if I didn't, I'll try again next year to help us understand clearly the influence of Africans on the theologies of the world and the governments of the world. But the European, because of his existence and coming up in a system, excuse me, coming up in an environment which created a system of selfishness and greediness and hatefulness and mean-spiritedness. And because of that, it has been a challenge. It's been a challenge ever since. And it continues to be, and it will continue to be until Africans make the necessary move to separate ourselves from them. Stop. I mean, you know, one of the things that the European has, even though it's deep, is that they don't want it, but they don't want you to get away. They don't want you to be a part of it. They don't want to share with you. Oh, hell no. But they don't want you to get away. I told you that capitalism got to have poor people. And we have been designated as a poor underclass, a permanent in their system. Now, of course, what they do, of course, is that there are some of us who do get away and we enjoy the trappings of their system. We have the material things of their system. We live in nice neighborhoods. In fact, some of us might even live near and with them in their neighborhood. Well, here in Atlanta, you don't have to do that. There are subdivisions and cul-de-sacs and communities, gated communities that are all us. You know, with manicured lawns, and the homes are, I'm quite sure, are immaculate in its interiors and in its designs and the furnishings, you know. But what's sad and pathetic is that even in those areas, we don't own nothing. We don't own anything. We don't have grocery stores, supermarkets, furniture stores. We don't have none of that. I've made mention many times about the Indians here in the Atlanta area. I can't speak all over because I haven't been all over, but I know I've been in the area where I used to live at in the DeKalb County, where I used to go to a clinic when I had my knees done and my shoulder operated on and put in for therapy. They have many stores. They have a strip mall. They have a strip mall with a supermarket, a convenience store, liquor store, a jewelry store, a furniture store, a clothing store. Everything they need, they have. And they employ their people. It is theirs. And we have nothing like that here in the city of Atlanta. But we have those little enclaves. We have them. But we go to the Europeans. We go to the Caucasians for their stuff. Don't even have a damn supermarket that's ours. At least you should have a damn supermarket. And so we wonder why, and then you seen what happened last Wednesday. And we talk about that. You know, I'm going to play this thing in the second hour, and we're going to talk about that. I'm going to play this thing about this arrogant-ass Caucasian named Howard Nicholas. He's going to talk about why Africa must remain impoverished. I'm not sure when this conversation was. I've been looking for it. Don't look for more from him. But, I mean, once again, you know, Our problem is that the European has a vice grip on our minds. If you understand that tool, once they have set the vice grip, you cannot pull it apart. You just can't. All your strength will not allow you to pull it apart. There's a knob at the end of the handle. You turn that knob. Turning that knob is symbolic of acquiring knowledge of self. And as you continue to acquire knowledge of self and begin to understand who you are, culturally, historically, the tension on the vice grip begins to lessen, and then to finally, bam, you open it up. But you don't confront them. To hell with them. They suffer from cognitive dissonance. They suffer from Caucasian fragility. They suffer from hegemony. What's mine is mine, and what's yours is mine. Caucasian fragility. I refuse to believe that. I don't want to believe how evil I am, how destructive I've been, all the things that I've done to other human beings. I believe that I am good and righteous and loving. I gave the world Christianity and God and Jesus in the image of me. Cognitive dissonance. I believe I'm superior. And in a damn thing that you can say otherwise. I don't give a damn how much information that you have. You can have a plethora of information that proves otherwise, but I refuse to accept it. And our problem has been trying to get these to hell with them. Once we break the vice grip, once we release and break the chains on our minds, the main thing is not to try to get them accepted. No, the main thing is for us to come together and to begin to do for ourselves. Get Africans on the continent together. Get Africans in the diaspora together. Learn, teach, build educational institutions controlled by us, our curriculum, our instructors. To prepare ourselves to run our world. To prepare ourselves to control the resources that are under the feet of African people. To get out of whatever we are disrespected, because we have, as Dr. Clark said, no friends. You want a friend? Go look in the mirror. And don't leave that mirror until you like what you see. And I don't mean the damn cleft in your chin or the dimples in your cheeks or your arch eyebrows. I'm talking about like who you see historically and culturally, like your nose, like your hair. You can be light, bright, and damn near white to blue, black. We are Africans. We are one. We are Africans and we are one. We ain't black. We ain't black. We Africans. We ain't Nigerian. We ain't Ghanaian. We ain't Jamaican. We Africans. That's the emphasis. Marcus Garvey said, what? You expect me to give up a continent for an island? You expect me to give up a continent for a country that has constantly denied my humanity? Who has been destroying our people and continues to destroy our people? And still today, at this very moment, Africans are trying to run out of Africa. Africans are trying to get to Europe. Africans are trying to get to here, in any damn place else. And any and every place else that we go has a mask. We are disrespected. So, brothers and sisters, this is who we are. And this is who they are.
Oh, no, that's not, we're Americans. That's not who we know. You damn right. What you seen last week, Wednesday, is who they are. They're selfish and greedy. Has no desire to share with anybody. Here we marching in the damn street because we tired of being victimized by this system, by this government and its authorities, particularly the police departments. And sometimes no matter who the person is on the police department, the mentality is what it is. So that can be a black face or another quote, so-called person of color face, as well as a Caucasian or white face. The bottom line is the authority and to keep us in line. And so now they hailing the brother of the Capitol Police for leading them away, that little group of insurrectionists, leading them away from one of the chambers, you know. But, you know, and I don't want to give those false comparisons or those comparisons. If they would have been black, they would have been. We know. We know. Because I know that, you know, the Caucasians said, when I feared for my life, I feared for my life. You know. And the training of today's police is different than the training of the police of time ago. The training of today's police is shoot first, ask questions later. No, it's comply or die. That's the training of today's police. Comply or die. I don't know if anybody's seen that Arizona piece that came out about a couple weeks ago about the pregnant sister and her boyfriend and how these officers were talking it to them, just cussing them out. You know. And she's pregnant. She's telling them. You know, it's just, it's a mentality. It's part of their training. It's part of who they are. When you pull your pistol, if you pull your gun, you're going to shoot. And you're not shooting to maim or injure, to shoot, you know, just like in the movies, shoot the gun out their hand. No. You shooting to kill. When that man shot Blake in the back seven times. And the justification that he had a knife on the floor of the car. Whether that is true or not, does not justify shooting that man in the back seven times. And nobody will be arrested. Nobody will be prosecuted, convicted, or imprisoned, because there's no respect for African life. Nowhere. That's why I'm saying what I say on this program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. This is what I'm trying to do, and I know there are others who are trying to wake us up. Our lives are not guaranteed. We are in a tenuous position as people on this damn planet to try to deal with some people on this planet who are the most vicious, evil, selfish, greedy son of a bitches that we have ever encountered. And their history proves it. We should know it, but we keep, because we are bamboozled. We are always tricked and we keep believing, number one, their religion. Their religion continues to make us act and behave in this way. And I ain't just talking about Christianity. You throw Islam up in that. You throw all that other up in that. Last night on
Time for an Awakening, Brother Elliot had on Brother Bashir Akinyele. And Brother Bashir Akinyele out of Newark, New Jersey. And I was happy I even called in because I have read some of his stuff on here from Your Black World and Black Agenda Report and so forth. Good brother. He's a member of ASCAC, the Association for the Study of African Civilizations, out of ASCAC chapter in Newark. But he wrote this, The Real America, an African Perspective. When I speak, I don't speak as a Democrat or Republican, nor an American. I speak as a victim of America's so-called democracy. You and I have never seen democracy. All we've seen is hypocrisy. When we open our eyes today and look around America, we see America not through the eyes of someone who has enjoyed the fruits of Americanism. We see America through the eyes of someone who has been the victim of Americanism. We don't see any American dream. We've experienced only the American nightmare. El Haj, Malik El Shabazz, oh brother Omar Wally, Malcolm X. Wednesday's attack on the U.S. Capitol by Donald Trump supporters is a needed teachable moment. Do not let folks revise the history of America. As educators, you know, when you go to these things and you start reading them, and of course, for whatever commercial or ad or something, they move these things, they change them, so it just shifted. We must teach. Okay. We must teach the unadulterated facts of U.S. history to help America liberate itself from the love affair of racism, European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege. So I don't call it white supremacy. They are not white, and they shown a hell ain't supreme. But what they are is extreme. Extreme in their behavior towards people outside of themselves. Racism, because they're the ones that devise the concept of race. You can look at Carol Linnaeus and Johann Blumenbach in the 1600s. They are the ones that came up with this idea of race, of Caucasoid, Negroid, and Mongoloid, the stratifications of human beings. There's only one race, the human race, of which African people are the fathers and mothers of. And of course, privilege. They have established a privilege for themselves. That's why they did what they did on Wednesday, and they've seen what happened. Many people, wow, that must be white privilege, because damn, they went up in there and they did this and that. Well, of course, now they're starting to be identified. They're losing jobs. They're being arrested and so forth. Rightfully so, you know. Some will, and a lot of them won't, you know. And to me, what was cool, because they're anti-mask, and that enabled the authorities to continue to look at the photos and the cameras that people had to identify these assholes and to bring them to prosecute them and imprison them. European, Caucasian, extremism, racism, and privilege forces African people and many people in America to pander to the systematic racism. For centuries, systematic racism denied democracy to the American African community, to women, to indigenous people, and to Latinos. As African people, many of us understand that American democracy has been nothing but a disguise, it's hypocrisy. America has a long history of hatred and violence, especially towards African people and people of color. Throughout the U.S. history, systematic racism, violence, and illegally protected whiteness in America. European, Caucasian, extremism, racism, and privilege destroyed entire African towns, discredited African history, consistently denies reparations to African people, kills many African freedom fighters, justify police violence in our community, and annihilates American African and African liberation organizations. Caucasian extremism has made African people hate everything about ourselves, but love everything about being Caucasian. European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege justified the enslavement of African people in America for 250 years. Justified nearly 100 years of U.S. racial segregation. Justified biological warfare towards the African community. Justified the lynching of thousands of innocent American African lives. Unfortunately, European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege is under remote control. The extremism will produce more Trumps until the extremism is destroyed in America. But let's be clear. The extremism existed before Trump. It has been here since 1607. When the first Europeans came to Jamestown, Virginia, in 1620, when the Pilgrims landed on Plymouth Rock, in 1619, when the Africans arrived in chains from Africa on a Dutch ship, on the good ship Jesus. It's been here since July 4th, 1776, the birth date of this madness. And 1787, the founding of the Constitution that legalized protecting the enslavement of African people. This is the real America. This is what America is, what America is about. It is who America is. That's not who we are. We're better than that. And then you get all these Negroes crying and so forth. Man. For those, let me take a break. I'm going to take a break. When I come back from the break, I will have a little bit more to say about the chickens coming home to roost. And then we'll want to present something to you that, you know, a lot of times, you know, the European is bold in his madness. He really is. He's told us, he's shown us. But yet, because he has that vice grip on our minds, we continue to believe otherwise, and we continue to believe that we can use moral persuasion and our redemptive suffering. You know, I know Dr. King's birthday is coming up in 4 days. And, of course, the commemoration day is next week, Monday, you know. And I know we should have a profound love and respect for Dr. King. You know, but I believe he said it to Harry Belafonte best. He says, I believe I'm trying to integrate my people into a burning building. I'm trying to help my people get into a situation that is bad. It's bad for Caucasians collectively. So you know it's going to be worse for us. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on TimeForAnAwakening.com and BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at TimeForAnAwakening@gmail.com.
Revenge. some get back. Payback. Payback.
Yeah!
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're going to get right back to the conversation. Caught this particular piece and I thought it was, decent. I'll read from this and, like I said, we'll have some other discussion. And then, of course, I want to play that piece by this Caucasian named Howard Nicholas. For those who claim to be evangelicals and voted for Trump, your credibility is shot. If this is, by your words, what God condones, I don't want any parts of your God, for sure. I definitely don't. And, of course, they have supported him, rationalized that support. Some of the American African pastors and so forth laying hands on him. You had some of the Negroes talking about this is one of the best presidents. It's just sickening. It's just madness. This just confirms the longstanding reports of Caucasians being the biggest perpetrators of domestic terrorism, especially Caucasian males. And, of course, their history proves that out. In fact, Malcolm said it. Of all our studies, history is best qualified to reward our research. Look at the history of this violent, prone pervert. Look at the history from time's beginning when he coming out of that ice box and how he was. One group is called the Vandals. Marauders. That's who they are. Yes, brothers and sisters, it is who they is. Trump supporters lost an election. American African folks have lost their lives. Let's not compare the causes by any means. And to say what makes their actions different from those from the Black Lives Matter protesters is cowardice, especially when you know planted arsonists and law enforcement participated in the destruction of property. That whole thing, a lot of that was set up back then. And now some of that was Antifa. Now, this past Wednesday was not Antifa, which is a anti-government group of people who are like anarchists. No. But during the demonstrations this past summer, they had people dropping off bricks. Giving people bricks so they just can go destroy property and vandalize. I remember this sister, she had her mask on, and then a couple of Caucasians, they had spray cans, they were spray painting. She said, whoa, wait a minute, what y'all doing? Y'all spray painting it in our community. We're the ones going to have to just deal with this. Y'all get up out of here. You will not be permitted to minimize the intended coup by bringing up mental health. They always bring up, the folks that suffer from mental health, just like the Caucasian who killed those two people and wounded another in Kenosha coming out of Illinois. They raised $1 million, brothers and sisters. I think it might have been more than that through Cash App, PayPal, whatever, for that Caucasian. Brother, it's who they are. Do you really need to discuss the patience shown by law enforcement while Caucasian folks busted the windows out and stormed the Capitol? Soon as somebody confronted, if I'm one of those trained police officers, because, once you're confronted like that, like in our community and so forth, if you're confronted like that, you shoot. And you fear for your life. Or if you're 12-year-old, playing in the park, and the police just roll up, jump out the car and shoot you ASAP. Just rolled up on him, Tamir Rice. Rolled up on him, got out the car and shot him. Who they are. Stop saying this is not America. Newsflash, this has been America for generations. No, for hundreds of years. This is America. This is who you are. Anything that you felt you wanted, you took. You busted all these treaties with indigenous people, moved them from place to place. This is who you are. Developed a system whereby it's important to have poor people and to keep them poor. Came up with a president, Ronald Damn Reagan, who exacerbated the inequality, the economic inequality, not just in this country, but in the world. This is who you are, you selfish son of a bitches. This is who you are. The pride and arrogance of America is now beginning to unfold, and you know what comes after pride. That's right, the fall. Yeah, I don't see them falling anytime soon, though, dear brothers and sisters. I really don't. They need to fall. They deserve to fall. This hostile, volatile approach has been the political makeup of the Trump administration, yet he received more votes in 2020 than he received in 2016. That's why his stupid ass was like, I got more votes than last time. I have to be the winner. I got more votes, millions more. I have to be the damn winner. Not understanding that a lot of more people voted. That was 4 years ago. If I'm 15, 16 years old, I'm voting right now. I can vote. And I shown the hell ain't voting for his ass. And that was the mindset a lot of people and a lot of us. A lot of us. That's why it was fraud, because all those black folks in those swing state cities of Atlanta, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Milwaukee, Detroit, us. Trump administration called for his base to present with him the intent of being vocal and hostile against the electoral certification. Therefore, he is responsible. He had that rally that day, and he said, let's go march on the Capitol. I'm going to be with you. You can't be weak. You got to be strong. He said it. He is responsible. The information is correct that if he's impeached again, then he cannot collect his $250,000 a year pension from being president. He can't collect $1 million that they would give him for travel and other amenities. He cannot run for office ever again. Impeach his ass again. There's a thing I just read that said that he could be, even though it would be possible, you know, now, but although the Senate confirmed Barrett to the Supreme Court real fast, they do whatever they, listen, you and I both know they do whatever the hell they want to do if they want to do it. Because that's how it is, and that's who they are. Yep, in D.C. in one day. They arrested, I think it's around about 60-something people now that they arrested. But during the protests of Black Lives Matter, they arrested over 430. Over 100-something in one protest. Once again, dear brothers and sisters, you have to understand it is who they are. And yet they didn't treat us. No, and they're not. It is not. Stop it. Stop it. It says, revisit the Kerner Commission. Then tell me again why this has not been America. The Kerner Commission
And what did the Kerner Commission say when Johnson got it? He said, he ain't going to deal with it. I don't want to follow the recommendations of the Kerner Commission of fairness, of justice, of righting all these wrongs, and that the real problem here in America is racism. I don't want to do that. We're not going to do that. So for these many decades, it has persisted and will continue to persist, because as long as we are here and they are here, it will persist. This is a short piece I'm going to play, and I want to hopefully you'll be able to call in at 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We can engage in some dialogue. It is who they are. It is who they are. I hope you will be able to hear this.
Sub-Saharan Africa has been fundamental to the global prosperity of the advanced countries. Okay? And Africa had a role to play. It has a role as a raw material producer. We will not allow Sub-Saharan Africa to escape that. Okay? We do everything to keep Sub-Saharan Africa where it is, also impoverished. It's absolutely vital for the prosperity of everyone else. So let's get clear about that. Okay, and this means all the economic structures, all the global institutions, and the economics we teach everyone is all designed to keep Africa exactly where it is. And whether it is Europe or US or now China, it's always the same. We need Africa to be impoverished because we need those raw materials and we need them dirt cheap. Okay, so that's the message. It doesn't mean to say that there's nothing Africans can do. Of course there is. Okay? But this is the opposition that they're fighting. This is what it's about. Because if Africa does do something different, I assure you living standards of all those in Europe and North America and Asia is going to fall. Okay? And that is a big price to pay. I assure you that the West is not going to allow that without a big fight. Okay, so this is what it's fundamentally about. What I want to show you is how these structures are operating. It's just 20 minutes, so we can't do very much, but just to give you a little bit of an idea. And why I keep the ideology part there is because we are part of the producers of ideology. At universities and academic institutions, we are complicit in this whole enterprise. Okay, so the job of many Western academics is to convince Africans they have to keep doing what they're doing. Okay, and to show them, it's your fault that you're poor. It's not our fault. It's your fault that you're poor. You know, so this is what we do in academic institutions, and I want to show that as well. We just start. This is what it's basically about, so you know what it's about. But I want to just show you the extent to which Africa is specializing in the production of raw materials and basic agricultural goods. We know the basic forces that have caused this underdevelopment. We know it's colonization. I will not discuss that very much because my colleague speaker is going to go into some aspects of this. But I do want to discuss the global economic structures, the global financial institutions, and economic ideology, briefly, to give you a flavor of those. Let me start with this. You can't really see it so easily, but if those of you who are interested, you want the PowerPoint, I'm sure we can make it available to you. But the thing that you really need to see is the top line. Okay, And the extent of dependency is captured by this statistic at the top. Okay? And you compare it with all other income groups, and what you see is essentially in that one statistic how dependent sub-Saharan Africa is on raw material production. Okay, this is the very heart of what makes sub-Saharan Africa beat. Okay, here, just to have a look at one very important additional statistic, with all this export coming from sub-Saharan Africa, how much does sub-Saharan Africa account for in terms of global trade value? We know there are vast resources coming from there, but look at the bottom line in terms of global trade value. Look at that. 0.5% 1975, 0.95%, going down to 0.1, meaning that with all this vast resources being produced, how much are they getting for it? Nothing. Nothing. This is a very significant piece of data. Then I just want to show you what has happened to sub-Saharan Africa, because what we know, and from all studies, no country ever develops without manufacturing. Okay, producing raw materials will not take you anywhere. Producing basic agricultural goods will not take you anywhere. And let's have a look at how much manufacturing activity takes place in sub-Saharan Africa. We can look over the last 15, 20 years. And we see manufacturing has actually declined as a percentage of the total. This is percentages of total production.
Yeah. I tell you, when I first heard that, as I was thumbing through, looking at some YouTubes and, you know, stuff on Trump and stuff on the, this came across.
In sub-Saharan Africa, how much of it?
This came across, and then I said, I got to deal with this. That's why I do this program. Brothers and sisters, we need to be in a sense of urgency. Our future is not guaranteed with this son of a bitch on the planet, with his selfish and greedy nature. He wants us off the planet, and he wants our resources. You can join this conversation. If you're on now, hit star twice. Let me know you want to get in on this conversation. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. And we need to discuss this. Hit start. 646-646, good afternoon.
Yeah, what's happening, Oshie? Right, hey. Quick. Are you saying that your boy needs to be impeached?
Yes.
What damn business is that of ours? Why the hell should we care if this cracker's impeached or not, man? What is it going to do to make me and your life better?
Nothing.
And make African
nothing.
People
nothing.
Life better.
Nothing, so, but... Hold on.
Hold on.
Nothing. But does he deserve anything? I mean, I know we don't care if he gets the $250,000 for the rest of his life for being one of the worst damn presidents in the history of this country. I know he's going to get $1 million for travel and speaking. You know, I don't care. You know, you're right. I don't. But if by being impeached again, then that will be eliminated. I'm for it because he don't deserve a damn dime. By being impeached again, he cannot run for political office ever again. So it's more than just symbolic. It's more than just symbolic. It's an opportunity to X his ass out. Now, how about that? I don't care if that happens or not.
If you're gonna use that excuse to get rid of the cracker and make the cracker of no value, then I may go along with that. Oh. But I don't give a F about them.
Of course, I don't either.
I'm more concerned, to be honest with you, about with them other two characters and a problem that's going to be bigger than Mitch McConnell may have ever been, that people for some reason don't realize, Joe Manchin, that's going to hurt more people probably in the long run, that's going to help our people. You know, we sometimes don't understand who our real enemies are. We don't know how to pick out our enemies. We don't know how to identify our enemies and those who will do real evil to us under the auspice that they are so-called ally and a friend. Hey, this is a critical stage for African people here and abroad. And dirtbags like Manchin are going to be in a situation to really cause some problems. So with the lurkings around of the Mitch McConnells and the rest of them sycophant dirtbags, watch out for the one who's closest to the hen coop, because he's the one who's going to go in there and devour the chickens, if you know what I mean. So we better be on our swivel, as the youngins say, because this ain't getting no better, O. This is getting worse.
No, that's why, Jay, I give less than a rat's ass about this administration, previous administrations, or future administrations of the United Snakes of America. It is what it is. It does what it does. I'm praying and hoping and trying my best to put something on the minds of African people to get us to so we can step outside of the imposed boundaries that Europeans have placed upon us and deal with one another, respect one another, trust one another, begin to look at Africa as the salvation that it is for African people. You don't need to go, but what you do need is to have the mind and the heart and the will that will support our efforts in reestablishing Africa for Africans. Reestablishing Africa, a home and abroad, to be, we can't, the only place, Jay, that we can be sovereign is on the continent of Africa. The only place. Now, I know,
a lot of our people love being Americans more than they love being any goddamn thing in the world.
Yes.
So when you start talking about impeachment and all that other stuff, you know, you gotta really be, as they say, on your swivel. Because let me tell you something. Anytime you give a compromising position to a cracker, you in trouble. You done lost your cotton picking mind, because these devils are trying to survive on the planet. They know this thing is not getting no better. I mean, you know, just think about this. What they've done to this dirtbag in regards to basically, if you think about it, cutting him off from America, not allowing Americans to see what this twisted bastard is thinking, and Lord knows you don't know what you could do. Now, when you had him on those platforms, at least you could see what the fool is thinking. Now nobody knows what this fool is sitting and thinking about. You don't know what he liable to do. Sometimes we play our hand before we should. I mean, to get that week a bastard in the office and not be able to communicate with his sycophant fans, that must be a serious amount of trauma to this cracker, man. Just think about it. You know, he fed off of that. So now what is he going to feed off? Will he now hold a press conference to talk about how he's now being mistreated by social media and all that? I wouldn't be surprised. 9 o'clock at night in the middle of the football championship game tonight, he may come on there and talk about how he's been mistreated. type of sick cracker he is. So it's no telling what this devil may do in the next week, and I'm loving it.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think that's why people want the 25th Amendment enacted. That's why people want him to be impeached and anything else or censored. In fact, some are really trying to pressure him into resigning, like now.
He don't have that type of character.
No, he doesn't.
If he had the type of character, he would do it.
Yeah.
And if Pence had the type of character, he would invoke
the 25th Amendment.
The 25th Amendment on him.
Yeah.
But check this out. From what I understand, if he puts the 25th Amendment on him, then he'll save all of those things that you're talking about, the American state government not having to give the bastard.
Right.
But, you know, the white man going to protect the white man.
Right.
So, you know, Pence is going to do what he deems to be best in the interests of white folk. But, you know, the sad thing is, this is the sad thing, in all honesty, is all of those dumbasses that was out there on the 25th are now going to pay a serious price for it. They're going to lose their jobs. They may lose their families. They're going to go to jail. They're going to pay serious fines, all for what? Nothing. What did they gain?
For
they
a
gain
lie.
Nothing. What did
for
they get? They get nothing for BS character. Now, if your boy was really about something and he really cared about the sickle fin fads, you know what he would do? He would pardon all of those people, right? If he was really, he would pardon all of those people because most of them are facing not state charges.
Yeah, they're federal charges.
They're facing federal charges.
Yep.
So if he was really, really about it and he cared about them and he was their true leader, he would just pardon all of them. You know? That's what a real leader may do.
Next week. He may try to do that next week. He may try to do that. You know,
if he do that, then I may have a little respect for the bastard. But if he don't do that, you know,
well, his last day to do that is Dr. King's birth. No, the next day, Tuesday, the 19th.
Well, the bottom line is
that's his last day to do it.
It would be, as the words would say, apropos to be able to do that. And you know something? If he do it, I would love it. Oh, it would make me feel so good to know that a white man finally gave white folks up for real. Because he just played the sugar honey iced tea out of the dumb bastard last Wednesday. That is pitiful. And you know something, Oshie? Nobody talks about that. You haven't seen nothing written about the fact that what this man has now done is destroyed the lives of those dumb individuals.
Yeah.
Nobody is voting that, dealing with it or addressing the fact that he has placed them in a position to where they're going to be financially destroyed because most of them are going to lose their job.
Let me say it to you this way, too. You got to understand that over 70 million people voted for his ass. And so I'm saying it to you this way. And so those individuals who made that sacrifice to try to bring him into that position that these 70 million people voted for him to have, I wouldn't doubt.
Hey, Ochi, I'll get back to you.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, Jay. I wouldn't doubt that he says, hey, we're going to develop some funds for these folks through, you know, Cash App, PayPal, whatever. You know, we're going to develop some funds for these folks because I know that they're going to lose jobs. Some of them will be imprisoned and so forth. So I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't be surprised. I would not be surprised. 414, good afternoon. 414-507? 414-507? All right. Okay. You want to listen? Okay. So if you're on now, we have a few people on now. If you hit star twice, you can join the conversation or join the conversation by dialing 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Here's another piece that I like to read in conjunction with what you just heard, you know. This is Lord Macaulay's address to the British Parliament in February of 1835, February. I have traveled across the length and the breadth of Africa, and I have not seen one person who is a beggar, who is a thief. Such wealth I have seen in this country, such high moral standards and values, people of such caliber that I do not think we would ever conquer this country unless we break the very backbone of this nation, which is their spiritual and cultural heritage. And therefore, I propose that we replace her old and ancient educational system, her culture. For if the Africans think that all that is foreign and European is good and greater than their own, they will lose their self-esteem, their native culture, and they will become what we want them, a truly dominated people, a dominated nation. Is that not what happened? Is that not what happened? That's why what I'm saying, I say with urgency. I know we talk about the Pan-African Federalist Movement, something to make sure that it happens within this decade of right now, by 2030. Whatever has to happen, it needs to begin to start happening now. The education, the most important, the education of African people at a young age has to be in the hands of African people now. And this educational process must be administered by Africans everywhere. We must begin to develop a language. We must embrace Kiswahili. Now. And I know Bibi Atumi, which is a site that pretty soon I will be on and very proud to be on. And we'll be talking about that. There has to be ways that we can communicate, that we can do things that are ours, that are independent of anybody. Right now, we're still on, even though I'm on Time for an Awakening, which is a part of the Black Talk Radio Network, but the Black Talk Radio Network is on TuneIn. I don't know what happened to Black Talk Radio Network this past Friday, if it was TuneIn was the problem or whatever, but I'm at that mercy. But if I was on a American African or an African server, and that happened, you know, understandable. But it's ours. The main thing for us, brothers and sisters, is that given all that is going on, you know, and how do we deal with the pandemic? Last night I listened to Brother Bashir Akinyele, but a brother had called me up about the vaccine. Now I had a discussion with the brother, who he's pro vaccine, you know, and I really wanted to, but I was kind of So I made a choice, and that was a choice I made, and I'm glad I did. But even at that, because he knows I'm anti-vaccine, you know, it's not just the Tuskegee experiment. It's not just Henrietta Lacks and what the European did, taking her cells and literally making billions of dollars, not doing anything for the family of Henrietta Lacks. But that's just par for the course here in America. It's just how, who they, what they are. You know. And of course, understanding that the good possibility of making something like a vaccine, just as Bill Gates said, that we can engage with population control. The European, the Caucasian, the white man, the crack, whatever. I ain't lying. I ain't heard that word in a long time. Hunky. Sister sent me, you know, Donkey Kong, right? Y'all remember Donkey Kong as a game. I never played video games. I think when I played Pong when that came out in the 70s, on what is that, Sega system or whatever. Boop, boop, you know. I didn't go beyond that. I didn't play all those other games. But anyway, I remember seeing Donkey Kong, and I know what the objective of it is. So they had a picture of Donkey Kong. It said it was Honky Kong. And the Caucasians that were scaling the walls of the Capitol, it was bopping them down. Honky Kong. So, man, I ain't heard that word in a long time. But this situation that we are in is tenuous. It is scary. And I know that each day that passes, the opportunities for us diminishes. I'm optimistic, but I'm also realistic. I understand the European. How do I get this understanding? Obviously through reading, observing, analyzing, looking at our scholars and historians, what they had to say, being avid admirers and respecting those men and women who brought us that information, internalizing it, acting upon it. Like I said, I don't give you my opinion. My opinion is profane. I hate these mother. It is. My opinion is profane. I can't stand. What I try my best to give you, my dear brothers and sisters, is information of scholarly research of our scholars, our historians, our elders, our ancestors, men and women, sometimes without any foundation, grant, or whatever. They reclaimed and recaptured, restored the history of our people to present it to us because they understood how vital it is for our very existence and to help eradicate this ignorance, to help get us out this European mindset. We are at war for the minds of our people. We only got a few minutes left. If you hit star twice, you can join this conversation or by dialing 215-490-9832. We're at war. That's why I read Baba Baruti. That's why I have a lot of love and respect for him.
coming out of the U.S. military. There's a number of brothers, and I'm quite sure sisters too, coming out of the U.S. military who are very hardcore Pan-Africanists, very radical. And you would think otherwise because you know the indoctrination. They are training you to defend America. They are training you. Just like the police. That's why I told myself I could never work for law enforcement. I couldn't defend this. I could never have worked. That's why the Creator blessed me with the opportunity to be a firefighter. I can go fight fires. I can go in a burning building, climb ladders, put holes in roofs, do EMS work. I could do all of that. But I couldn't be a law enforcement because the law have truly been against us as our people, has never served us as it has served Caucasians. Well, we're almost out of time. You know, that piece I played, well, you know I'm going to play it again. It's only like 7 minutes, I think, more of that presentation, maybe even some of the PowerPoint of it. Not necessarily needed, because he laid it out. He just said unequivocally, we must keep Africa poor. We must manipulate and undermine Africa. Because if we don't, we will be poor. Europe is rich because of colonization and enslavement of African people. That's why when we talk about reparations, I don't talk about reparations so a mug can get some money. Damn that. I talk about reparations because we need to be repaired. We need to build institutions. We need to be a people who are players on the world stage as opposed to the pawns that we became. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure as hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, I appreciate this time. I hope that you'll join me again on Wednesday. You have a blessed and wonderful day. Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodie. Bibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Marcus Garvey says, up you mighty people, you can accomplish what you will. Do we have the will, or have these Caucasians broken our will by destroying our minds? Can we reclaim and recapture and restore our minds? Be back here on Wednesday to help make that happen. Peace, family. Have a blessed day.